Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome back to another episode of Press B to Geek Cave Podcast Gaming. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Now, because Justin, in the comics segment, so graciously belted out this musical number, mm-hmm. And I was told that the only way to match it was to do it spoken word in the form of William Shatner. Go, Link, from here to over there, across the spooky land, with a sword that shoots laser beams. Trust the hero inside, and if you're terrified, go on the journey of... Your dreams. Welcome to the gaming segment.
Now do it as walking.
I thought that was.
I know.
Just take what you can get, okay?
I'm taking it. I'm taking it all.
This is seat of my pants, guys. Welcome to the gaming segment.
You've had a full day to think about this. Come on.
Wasn't long enough. Welcome to the gaming segment. Let's thank our sponsors. Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today with free shipping on all orders within the U.S., William Shatner impersonations, and great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic, whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between. Find something for you at shirtosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. They have thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, send it back with a postage-paid envelope, get a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than those in-store prices. And they just updated their rewards program. You can stack up to $20 in coupons toward any purchase. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Chad.
Yo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Demo Derby!
Welcome to the Demo Derby. I played Klonoa Fantasy Reverie Series. Actually, I only played the first one, although the two games were included. Short review, I liked it. Kind of a 2D platformer with a couple of branching paths for collectibles. I'm sure there's a story to it, but I don't really remember it. Because the story is not important. The story is important in the same way that the story is important to enjoy the first level of Sonic. Hmm. You don't really need to know or care to get from this place to that place.
Must go fast.
Gotta go fast.
It's a reskinned PS1 era game. The demo I played had that one and the PS2 era sequel. But I didn't play the second one because I was on a huge time crunch for the week. I barely got to watch Darren play Power Washing Simulator. Mm. That's how busy I was, which you can find on the Geek Cave Podcast YouTube channel.
Oh, boy, that such a breakneck pace, that one.
I tell you, there were times that I was watching and I just wanted to be like, hand me the controller.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I was like 17 miles away and laying in bed. So, in this game, you play as a dude with really long ears and you go right. And sometimes you go left, and you navigate an otherwise perfectly linear level on your way to beating up some villain. Music's catchy, controls work, I'm half convinced to buy the whole game. After I finish Dark Cloud, which, surprisingly similar in terms of graphical fidelity here.
Okay.
In terms of the graphics on it, you can tell that it's coming from PS1 era. It's clean, they did a good job of cleaning it up, but it just has that look.
Yeah.
You know, Probably the only real criticism that I have is that it does the tutorial thing by stopping what you're doing, popping up the great big sign on the screen that you have to read and then like click to exit out of.
I hate that so much.
And, and that's a hard balance to strike because sometimes you need those things, but there's only really like two things. You can jump and you can float by holding the thing and you pick a thing up and you can throw it. I guess you could also pick a thing up and then use that thing to double jump. But there's only like three buttons you're using over the course of the game. So, at least over the course of the demo. So, not a whole lot needing to be struck up with tutorials. But, can't give it too hard a knock at that. It is, after all, a PS1 era game. At the end of the day, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good demo. I'm actually thinking of picking it up, buying it, and playing more of it.
No. Oh.
Pick this game up. It's a delight. It's colorful. Music's catchy. Controls are easy enough. I'm sure that at some point it will get ridiculously, stupidly hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because all games of that era did. And there's not really a leveling up system, so I'm guessing you can't go back and level up to make those later parts easier, like what I'm doing in Dark Cloud.
Okay. Cool. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the demo.
Me too.
Yeah.
This is, like, awesome. Are games always... is this what it's like for you?
Yes.
You know, you play a game and it's just fun?
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what it's like.
Huh.
Yeah. Who knew?
I haven't had this much fun since I learned to play Parcheesi.
Well, speaking of learning stuff, Justin.
Darren.
Do you have any words of wisdom to share with us today?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. So, as many of you know, I don't get to play many video games, but I do have a wide breadth of knowledge that I think is useful to the gaming community. So I go through Reddit's Ask Games to find questions that I think need an answer in a little segment I like to call...
Ask Justin. The Geek Cave podcast and its associates, including Justin, do not condone the advice given in this segment.
Thank you, Nigel. So this month's question is, games to play when you're feeling lazy. Dude, really? When you're feeling lazy, you turn on the streaming service of your choice, hit play on a show, and let it ride. You don't have the energy for button mashing. You're lazy. Embrace your inner sloth and watch Friends till you fall asleep.
Sloth love chunk.
I would say the Telltale games.
Mm.
Mm. Or What Remains of Edith Finch. Basically any of the walking simulators.
The Order 1886.
No. No.
That was
no,
a
that's
really
a steampunk that's a steampunk simulator. Thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
All right.
Oh, I also recently tried out Rocket Birds Hard Boiled Chicken.
Okay.
Is this
wait,
a Flappy Bird clone?
Wait.
Are we
nope.
having a relapse?
No.
Okay, you heard it too, because I thought I was having a stroke. Give me that title again.
Rocket Birds, Hard Boiled Chicken.
Yeah, no, it just sounds insane. Okay. Please tell me about this.
So, there's... You play as a chicken... that I can best describe as Rambo. He is decked out in camo. He's got a headband on. He shoots gun. The opening cinematic is he's flying into enemy territory with a jetpack. Other chickens with jetpacks go to intercept him. He, you know, does the classic maneuver of slamming on the brakes so that they fly past him and he can be behind them and shoots them down, but then his rocket won't re-engage and then he lands in enemy territory. And then you get to actually play the game. And it's kind of shitty.
Aw.
Because it is a 2D platformer with 3D rendering, So if you don't hit just right to where you're jumping, you just kind of bloop down.
Oh, that's no bueno.
That is no bueno. Also, when you reach the end of your screen, you know, you hit the far right side of your screen, rather than just moving along with you, you stop, the screen shoots over, so you're now at the far left side of the screen, and then you can keep moving.
So they combined terrible NES platforming with 2D, 3D terrible platforming.
Mm-hmm.
I was all set to like this game because you're a chicken with a gun.
God, I'm so sorry.
Man, sometimes the world is just not fair.
I didn't even finish the first level. I played for maybe 20 minutes and got so fed up. I'm like, you know what? It's going back in the Gamefly envelope.
If I may make a suggestion, similar vein, you'll see it on our YouTube channel soon. Tembo, the Badass Elephant. T-E-M-B-O, the Badass Elephant. That's going to be coming to the YouTube channel real soon.
Tembo, the Badass Elephant.
I have it on Xbox, and it is a side-scroller with an elephant that is kind of like Rambo. And you rescue people in each level. And whenever you rescue a person, they get on your back, and before long, you've got like 10 or 12 people all riding this elephant's back as you are charging through barricades and just yeeting bad guys into the sky and collecting peanut butter to, you know, have more extra lives, that kind of thing. And it's awesome.
Okay.
That sounds awesome.
It is. It is. It is much better than Rambo chicken.
Oh, that's Rocket Bird's hard-boiled chicken.
I know what the title is.
Yeah. No, I picked this game because I was going through the Gamefly list of PlayStation games. I'm like, okay, this looks interesting. Let's try it. No, don't be like me.
That's unfortunate. Well, got a couple reviews, but first I want to talk about Extra Life, if we may.
Always.
This is something we do every year in the fall. We raise money for Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, three specific hospitals. You can find the details on each of our fundraising pages through the Extra Life link at gkpodcast.com. And it really is just a great way for you to help out with the financial situation of not just the parents, because obviously it's bad enough to have a kid in the hospital. You know, hospitals are not a fun place to be. But this way they don't have to worry about how am I going to pay for this? Because the American healthcare system is the American healthcare system.
That is true.
Oh boy, is it ever.
Every year, 50,000 gamers get together for this, and we raise millions of dollars. Since 2008, gamers have raised $87 million through Extra Life. It pays for medical research, it pays for medical expenses, and it pays for, and I can speak to this from experience, I had a sibling who we lost due to cancer, but we took her to Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. Fantastic facility. They did everything they could for her. Great place. And they had in the waiting room this old, busted, janky Nintendo Entertainment System with three or four games.
I bet it still worked like it was brand new, though.
Oh, it absolutely did. But the reason I bring it up is, you know, I was old enough at the time to know what was going on, you know. Watching the other kids in the room, when they got their turn with the Nintendo, it's like they forgot what they were there for. For a second, they got to just be kids again. That is why we're doing what we're doing, is so we can help make that a reality for others. So, let me tell you where your incentive is. Obviously, donating all the money goes to them. So, that's an incentive right there. All the money goes to CMN hospitals. But also, you could win a prize. You could win your choice of a Nintendo Switch Online, a Game Pass, or PlayStation Plus membership. You could win a T-shirt of your choice from Shirtosaurus. You could win a physical copy, Make note of that. A physical copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge for the Nintendo Switch.
They don't make that.
Which is courtesy of Limited Run Games. You could win a digital code for Ghostbusters Afterlife. Or, if you donate $250 or more, you'll get a prize that very few people will ever get to experience. You will get to be a part of the Deep Cave podcast. You'll get to be on one of the segments. You'll get to join a video call with us and let your opinions be known. Or if you don't even want to talk, you don't have to talk. You can just sit and enjoy it and chat with us in between segments. That's fine, too. All of the details right now. Click on the Extra Life link at the top of DeepCavePodcast.com. And God bless you for whatever support you give us. All right.
Amen.
Kitties. Kitty, 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 kitty. Let's talk Stray.
Kitty, mew, mew.
Oh, boy. Stray is a game that only lasts about 6 hours, but it has my heart. And the ending... All right. I'm not going to spoil much, but I am going to spoil the shit out of the ending. So if you don't want to know how Stray ends, jump 6 minutes ahead. Okay? That might be too long, but it'll at least get you past it. You can always back up. So, Stray starts off, and by the way, this is for the PlayStation, PS4, PS5, and PC. Starts off with you and a little colony of cats. Little you and three other cats, and you get to play as a cat, and there's a dedicated meow button, and it's super cute. There's this context button where you can either scratch up stuff or rub on the other cats.
They learned that from Untitled Goose Game, didn't they?
Yes, they did. The dedicated honk button.
Honk.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you mess with the honk, you get the bonk.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, real recognizes real.
Yeah.
That's also an amazing game. But, and you know, they actually did motion capture, and they have a cat voice actor, as in, like, they got a cat, and they recorded the lines mm-hmm. from the cat, so the meow is actually a real meow. And everything's going great. It's like, okay, it's a post-apocalyptic world, but it's all green, and everything's nice, and these kitties are just hanging out, and, oh, they're climbing on these rusted metal pipes. Well, be careful. No! Oh, God, no! And just like that, you are thrust into the actual game as one of the cats falls a great height, lands in the sewers, ends up in an underground city populated by robots. Entirely robots. Because it seems all the humans died out from a horrible plague generations ago.
That sounds like something humans would do.
It absolutely mm-hmm. does. You end up
How
meeting...
How dare we be soft and squishy.
You end up meeting a drone who helps you kind of communicate with the other robots and has agreed to help you get back outside. You need to get outside. Now, here's the first mistake. If the writers of Stray knew anything about cats, they would know that as soon as a cat is given an option to go outside, it will sit in the door and not move. Or it will go outside and then come right back in 10 minutes later. But I digress. It's a puzzle platformer. You do have to avoid these potato-shaped
ticks,
essentially, called Zerks. At one point, you get a upgrade to your flashlight that kills them with ultraviolet light. Naturally, something goes horribly wrong, and that breaks. Because the drone has to choose between conserving its battery or saving your cat ass. There is, by the way, an achievement that you unlocked if you die 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah. No, I did not. I did not. I died 8. Short.
Just couldn't commit?
No.
Now, if you die 9 times, is it game over and you have to start at the beginning?
No, I don't
because
think so.
Because that would be awesome.
See, the thing is, it was a little disturbing for me as a former cat owner that when you die, you know, the screen goes red and it shows, you know, dead mm-hmm. on the screen. But seeing the cat fall over is just like, oh, God. You know? I have felt worse about this video game cat than I have real people.
Well, to be fair, people are people-y.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, so, again, spoiler warning for the end of the game, which is 6 hours long. You manage to do it. The drone who by this time has found out that he actually is a human consciousness, maybe the last human consciousness inside the shell of the robot.
The engineer doctor thing from the room?
The engineer that the drone was looking for, yeah.
Okay.
Decides that it's necessary to sacrifice every last bit of his processing power to finally open that last door and get the cat back outside. And he does so. The drone falls down. The cat rubs its face against it, curls up, and sleeps next to it. It is a heartbreaking scene. So we cut to the next morning. The sunlight has killed all of the tick potato things. Cat steps outside of the city. And for 6 hours, I've been working for this moment to reunite with my other cat friends. The cat walks off alone. And then credits. We don't see the other cats. We don't see any reunion. And it doesn't look like there's plans for a sequel. So Annapurna Interactive, I have two things to say. One, thank you for an amazing game. Also, what the fuck? You can't give me 3 seconds of a happy ending? You... Play Stray. It's good.
You know, I bet if it had been dogs, they'd have been there waiting for him.
Well, someone pointed out that there needs to be a different narrative option for Stray because there's no way that a cat would do what anyone wants it to do. And a lot of this is robots giving you quests and you going and doing those things, you know?
Well, have we had robots try to give cats commands?
I don't know.
Maybe they just don't want to listen to us.
Well, science has proven that cats can understand us. They just don't care.
Yeah, they are the toddlers of the animal world.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe they just don't respect our...
I'd say they're teenagers.
Our bleeding organic, you know, shells. Maybe if we were more robotic, they would... Okay. Yeah,
My favorite secret that I found was there's one point where you infiltrate a nightclub, like a straight-up dance club for robots, and you can trick one of the DJs into walking away. And when he does, you can grab a record, put it on the turntable, and then use the scratch buttons to do your own little mix, and you get an achievement for it.
Yes. Oh,
wow. It was amazing.
That's truly a thing.
My spouse can attest, I had a look of pure unfettered joy on my face.
Unfettered.
Yes, whenever like I start clicking the left and right triggers and it's wee, 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 wee. I mean, it was great. So, yes, play Stray. Okay, it's been 6 minutes. Welcome back.
How y'all doing?
In case you missed it, play Stray. I'm not going to say anything other than that. Good game. It's a good game. Annapurna, though, I got some questions. If there's no further business.
It was created by a madman. Ignored and rejected. Every week it grows. We cannot kill it, for it does not live. Step fast and be wary, or you may fall victim to Darren's Pile of Shame.
We have, as humans, always gravitated towards the great speakers of our time. From Socrates and Plato, to Jesus of Nazareth, to your chosen favorite politician, and so on. Those who have a masterful command of language tend to enrapture us, bring us in, hold our attention, call us to action. So it is when the subject of this month's review opens his mouth and not only informs, but, dare I say, invigorates us all when he utters the phrase, "Yeah!" This month we're revisiting The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Winner of multiple Game of the Year awards in late 2017 and early 2018, getting it onto our Year of the Games of the Year slate for the Pile of Shame, where I will be reviewing games all year that have been sitting in my to-do pile, or in this case, to revisit pile. It's the same pile. I played this game obsessively when it came out over 5 years ago, alongside the launch of the Nintendo Switch. That's right, the Switch came out more than 5 years ago.
Now I feel old.
Yep. When I picked it up for this review, I started playing it just to pass the time because I was staying with Chad. I was in between moves, and I only had my Switch with me. And damn it, if it didn't sink its claws into me again. For those unfamiliar, what are you doing here? The Legend of Zelda series had, for decades, been kind of a formulaic perfection of the action RPG. Your character, Link, goes on one overarching quest, complemented with numerous side quests and secrets as you go from hub to hub, then dungeon to dungeon, until you're strong enough and have collected the 3, 6, or 7 MacGuffins necessary to fight the giant pig at the end and rescue Princess Zelda, the ninja who could have saved herself, and also rescue Hyrule.
Get the gizmo to do the thing.
Yes, get the thing to do the thing to fight the thing.
It's like Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, really, just the power-up sequence of Dragon Ball Z is just Link, but stretched out. Where Breath of the Wild mixes things up is simple. You are dropped into this vast world and just told, figure it out. And that's it. You can tackle quests in any order. I have seen people go straight to the final boss with Link in nothing but underwear and wielding a tree branch. And they've won. Because life is weird sometimes. Graphically, the art style still works really well, and I'm sure that when we look back in a decade or so, it'll probably hold up. Controls are solid. Whenever I died, it was more the game's difficulty or my own stupidity than it was the controls. Sometimes I would see a giant monster and run in thinking, y'all watch this! And everybody watched. Although using motion controls for some puzzles still annoyed the crap out of me. Especially there are some shrines, which are their dungeons, where you have to tilt the controller to move a giant marble in a giant marble maze. Until you realize, such as I did in the first playthrough, you can just turn the controller over and you get a flat surface to roll the marble on because it literally flips the maze upside down.
As is right and proper.
See, that's a design. That's a feature. They knew someone would try that, and the fact that they allowed you to do it was great.
Indeed.
The story also does something different. When you start the game, you find out, oh, you lost, like 100 years ago, and you lost bad. Ganon showed up, and he just wiped the floor with everybody. It wasn't even close. Mm-hmm. Pretty much everyone died, except for Zelda, who has managed to use her magic to hold him at bay ever since, and also apparently prevent herself from aging, which... that must be nice. The rest of the backstory is told in memories you unlock, many of which are optional, but all have cutscenes attached that are well-voiced, they're well-animated. This version of Zelda is definitely one of the best when it comes to relatability. You learn a lot about her struggles as a person, this ginormous weight that's been placed on her, this responsibility that she's not ready for, you know, all that stuff. And watching not only her relationship with Link, but also her coming to terms with everything, does make it worth your time to track down every unlockable memory possible. Especially the one where she tries to get Link to eat a frog. That's good. That's solid. I'm not telling you anything else. You gotta find it.
Okay. All right.
As with most Zelda titles, the soundtrack is great, but it's a lot more subdued than in other entries. Music shows up big in the dramatic moments, like boss fights or story revelations, but otherwise, it's quiet. You'll hear a few straight notes here and there as you explore. Enough for you to notice, but not enough to distract from what you're doing. I do have to talk about the biggest gripe that a lot of people have with this game, present company included, the durability of weapons and shields. Yeah, they break. A lot. And a limited inventory system means you might find yourself without a bow or sword when you need one, because everything is broken. The further into the game you get, the more durable stuff you find, and even the Master Sword, while it's unbreakable, can still run out of energy and be rendered unusable for about 10 real-world minutes at a time. I'm of two minds when it comes to this. On one hand, I think it shows just how crappy things have become in Hyrule over the past 100 years of decay, and it adds a layer of difficulty to the quest. But on the other hand, it is, I admit, hard to enjoy the power fantasy we get from video games if the new shiny sword you picked up breaks halfway through the cave you found it in. I get it. It is annoying. Speaking of, another way the game deviates from the classic Zelda formula is that it does away with big dungeons. Instead, you've got smaller shrines and bigger gimmicky mazes called the Divine Beast. I hate those, and I'll get back to them in a second. The shrines were fine for the most part. They let you stretch your puzzle-solving abilities. Usually it's one or two kind of gimmicks you have to work out, but otherwise it's fine. I do admit, though, when it came to the Divine Beast, I had to essentially rely on walkthroughs every time. Because these are giant robots that are meant to look like animals. A camel, an elephant, a bird, and like some kind of lizard, like a salamander. And in each one of them, not only do you have to navigate the innards of the thing, you also have to rotate the innards of the thing. Sometimes you'll move platforms by going into the map and having the beast literally flip onto its back or something. Sometimes you'll have to have the divine beast, like the elephant, like raise its trunk so you can get to another part of the level. And that all sounds fine in practice. Well, in theory, I should say. But in practice, maybe I'm getting to the point where I'm about to tell kids to stay off my lawn. But for the life of me, I could not grasp this. It was four-dimensional thinking, and I could not do it. If this was a game of that stupid, pretentious chess from Star Trek The Next Generation, a series that I love, but that game, just 3D chess looks weird to me. If this was that game, I'm the guy who brought the checkers. Or better yet, I'm the guy that got Wesley hooked on the VR headset game.
Yeah.
I could only finish one of those without help, and even that was dumb luck. So, yeah, the Divine Beasts, definitely, for me, a drawback. Although, again, you get more story content, and it's kind of bittersweet, and it's the story's really, God, the best story in a Zelda game. You have to work to find the story bits, but still the best story in a Zelda game. I have put in two playthroughs of this, and I have played more than 110 hours of this game.
Or almost one Mass Effect.
However, I have a friend who has put more than twice that amount of time in. All I can say is I could go back right now, all my gripes, and start over.
Wow.
And for that, the fun and the thrill of exploration and surviving some harrowing combat scenarios and seeing a giant moblin pick up a smaller one and throw it at me because I'm too far away for his spear to reach. All that stuff. It is a great new direction for a franchise that was starting to feel like paint by numbers. And that's by a huge Zelda fan. Be like me for the love of God and play Breath of the Wild. All right. That being said, for Chad, for Justin, for Kent, I'm Darren. Be sure to press X to Jason. And remember, everyone is a geek for something.
Heavy rain, really.